Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. It is Wednesday evening around 7 p.m., and I figured we'll do a little bit of preview. I actually want to save the preview show for Thomas, and I kind of jumped the gun here. So we'll probably, this whole week's basically a preview. So you guys know the drill on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81, send me questions. If you want, you're watching in the live stream here on YouTube, please like and subscribe and feel free to ask questions in the live chat. And it looks like so far we do have a couple questions coming in. I have to refresh my browser, but thanks for joining, guys. And real quick, if you want the audio-only version, you can find it on iTunes. You could go on Blog Talk Radio and search the FanRag Sports channel on there. And it's also on Google Play. So if you don't want to watch the live stream, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't want to watch the live stream and just want audio only, you could go there. And real quick, I want to give a special thanks to Wes Weber. He's been a stat contributor to the show, a regular viewer, a regular follower. And he hooked me up with a cool logo today. So I think we're going to roll with it. A couple people have asked for t-shirts. So thinking about maybe doing something like that in the near future. And if I can get this to load, here we go. Finally, get in the chat room here. Matt the Destroyer. Hey, Matt. Mike Zabrowski, what's up? Adam, I'm in tonight. How you doing, Mike? Carlos Gilliam, do you believe Michigan will load the box to make Michigan State throw? I'll get to that, Carlos. Sean Patterson, hey, Adam, how's your week been? It's been okay. I feel like my shoulder's dislocated. It's really weak. Got some numbness right here. I've had this pinched nerve in my back. It's just been icy hot and lots of Tylenol this week. So other than that, everything's been okay. We've talked about the quarterbacks a little bit yesterday. We could talk more about the defense today. Keep it kind of short, field some questions. I'll get to Carlos's first. Do you believe that Michigan will load the box to make Michigan State throw? Carlos, that's hard to say right now. We've seen Don Brown use a 3-3-5, and I think that they have to respect Brian Lewerke's legs. So, to force him to throw and stack the box, that's going to leave some guys open downfield, and one of those guys could be Felton Davis. And Felton had a hell of a game against Iowa, 9 catches, so for like 113 yards, his career high. He came in the game with 26 career catches, so. Mike Zabrowski says, I believe Michigan State will be the ones loading the box with our second-string QB. I think the Michigan State is going to challenge John O'Korn, but at the same time, loading the box, that's going to leave some guys open downfield. Michigan State has to respect John O'Korn's legs as well. John's a proven playmaker already. Brian Lewerke, he's getting there. He's already had like a 51-yard rush, a 62-yard rush. Brian's on his way to being one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten. I'm pretty confident saying that. I do want to mention, guys, and I love writing features. I'll write columns, I'll do some reporting and that kind of stuff, but I love writing features, and I want to thank Ben Davis coach, Mike Kirshner. My computer is being slow for that. My internet's being slow tonight. Anyway, I want to thank Ben Davis coach, Mike Kirshner. Ben Davis, area power down there in Indianapolis, a state power in the state of Indiana. Talked to him a little bit today about Chris Evans. Got kind of a peek into what makes Chris Evans tick. So that feature will run tomorrow on FanRagSports.com. Be sure to follow on Twitter at @FanRag_U and at @FanRagSports. I had a lot of fun writing it, guys. And like I said, when it comes to features, I like to do some interviews. I like to sit down. It's not a Michigan State preview. It's a story about Chris Evans. So if you want to know a little bit more about Chris, I think you'll enjoy reading that tomorrow. Mike Zabrowski says, I know you touched on this last night, but I'm really impressed with how talented our tight ends, and I agree there are the difference in the game. Hashtag X Factor. Absolutely. I think the tight ends are going to be huge for John O'Korn, Zach Gentry, and Sean McKeon, or Sean McKeon. And before we do that, I want to get to a couple questions I do have off Twitter, because Andrew Pierre Thomas actually asked, am I crazy to think that it's possible that Gentry and McKeon can combine for estimated 100 or 800 yards this season, 1,000? I think that's probably more within the realm of possibility now that John O'Korn is the quarterback. Again, I expected Wilton Spate and the tight ends to make connections, and it's just part of the offense, but I don't know if I'm reading too much into what I saw against Purdue in the second half, but I do think the rollout bootleg kind of stuff with John really caters to the tight ends, and I think that John, while he may not have a superb arm, he can make some throws. And I mean, we saw, and Zach Gentry can adjust to some throws too. We saw that catch up the seam by Zach against Purdue. So combining for 800 yards, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot. But I don't know if it's necessarily impossible. But given, I mean, we're already four games through, eight left in the regular season. I think that'd be a little bit to ask, because with eight games, 400, we're looking at, 100 yards essentially, or about 600 yards. I mean, I had to look at their stats, but I mean, that'd be pushing it, Andrew. Another question. And this one comes from Andrew Burris. I actually missed it last night. He wants to know, besides the obvious choice in John O'Korn, football is a team game, but what player would you like to see have a breakout game for Michigan to win? Well, I mean, I'm not gonna pick sides here. I don't care which team wins. I want to see a good game. Basically, other than John O'Korn, I mean, I've mentioned the tight ends. I think that this is a game that the right side of the offensive line can really prove something to, because I mean, we talked to Mike Onwenu a lot. He seems confident. We talked to John Runyon Jr. During the bye week. And I mean, I don't know if we're going to see John more at right guard or if we're going to see John at right tackle, because I mean, right tackle Nolan Aluzio certainly had some growing pains this year. So breakout player, I mean, I know it's probably not, you know, the sexiest pick, but I mean, right side of the offensive line, we got it. If you're a Michigan fan, you want to see that right side really solidify. I mean, that is the weakest link of the offense right now, is the right side of the offensive line. O-Ra 82, what up, Adam? What's up, O-Ra? Thanks for joining. Matt the Destroyer too says at Carlos Gilliam, he's shown he's had wheels. Matt the Destroyer. Hold on, I'm catching up on these. Sean Patterson, I remember asking a few weeks back, where the sharp crossing routes and tight ends, and there we go. O'Korn is moving the offense. Yeah, I think, I mean, and I don't know if that's just part of the game plan, because we weren't going to see everything anyway until Michigan got into Big Ten play. But at the same time, part of me does believe that, I mean, tight ends and John O'Korn, that's peas and carrots right there. Forrest Gump reference, guys. I don't do that every day. Mike Sobrowski says, I know you are a stickler on name pronunciation. Does it irk you how often Harbaugh mispronounces players' names? I have noticed a little bit. He'll say medalist for Josh Metellus. I'm pretty sure Josh has said it before, Metellus. Who else? I think Harbaugh has said Cannell in reference to Tyree Kinnell. And it's easy. It's easy to do. But you guys probably, I mean, I noticed it a little bit. You guys might notice it a little bit more than I do. All right, 82 says, I would say the wide receivers are the weakest link. They're very young. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Tariq Black didn't get injured, Tariq would be a guy that we're talking about right now. I think Donovan's been pretty decent. I mean, Kakoa Crawford has not had the season that I thought that he would be capable of. And, I mean, it looked like in the beginning of the season that he was going to be the number one receiver, so. Carlos Gilliam says, do you believe that Kron Higdon fumble against Purdue hurt his playing time? No, I don't think so. I mean, it's just, they're going to go with the hot hand. I don't necessarily know. I mean, it's not like, okay, you fumbled, you're punished. I mean, Kron's had a good season so far. I mean, fumbles happen. Kron's been relatively sure-handed, so I don't think it's going to hurt his playing time. It's just a fact of the game. That's what happens. No, sorry, Matt, listen to what Adam will respond. If you watch his interviews, he pronounces his name wrong. Matt the Destroyer says to Mike. Yeah, Matt, Harbaugh does pronounce the names wrong sometimes. Hey, nobody's perfect. I pronounce names wrong sometimes. I try to get them right. But yeah, Harbaugh does pronounce names wrong sometimes. Not the end of the world. Matt the Destroyer, do you think that McDoom will have more playing time this game? I mean, I think Eddie was going to be a part of it anyway, right? When we talked about when Tariq got injured, I thought that Eddie was going to be, Eddie was going to be the guy to fill Tariq's role, I guess, as far as the amount of snaps are concerned. Not necessarily what they can do on the field, but the amount, plug somebody else in there in the rotation. Damian Kuhn. Hey, Damian, thanks for joining. We're at 616. With O'Korn starting, do you think we'll see more stretch run plays than hit them with the play action bootleg passes? Guys, some of the specific ones. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the offensive coordinator. I'm not Tim Drevno. I'm not Pep Hamilton. I don't know exactly what they're thinking. And as far as Greg Fry, run game coordinator, and Jay Harbaugh, running backs coach, I don't know exactly what they're thinking as far as game plan is concerned. I will say that Michigan State secondary didn't look great against Notre Dame, but at the same time, I think that Michigan State is a closer team what we saw against Iowa than what we saw against Notre Dame. Trying to read some of these. I think you guys are having a conversation amongst yourselves. So I'm just sitting here viewing it. Four Masterfuls, if you look at recent history, the more experienced quarterback has won this game. Denard was more experienced when we won. Connor Cook was for me. And, I mean, if you look at experience factor as a whole, I mean, John O'Korn is a fifth-year senior. He started a year at Houston. He certainly has experience through reps and practice. I mean, and a lot of that time, you know, practice, it's not in-game, but it's pretty close. With Brian Lewerke being a sophomore, I mean, it's hard to tell. This is both their first time starting in Michigan State. Brian Lewerke played a little bit last year and obviously got his leg broken by Jabril Peppers, but before that happened, he completed 6 of 10 passes for 100 yards. I think this is going to be a game where the quarterbacks, the defenses, I think, are going to kind of negate each other a little bit. Both good defenses. I'm not comparing head-to-head. Michigan does have the better defense. But I think this is essentially a race to 2 touchdowns and a field goal. And I've been saying this, you know, I wanted to wait until tonight or tomorrow or whenever. It doesn't really make a difference. I see 17-13, 17-14 Michigan. I do think it's going to be a close game. I'd be really surprised if both teams combine for more than 40 points. Mike Sobrowski says, offense just needs to win time and possession and let our defense do what they do. And that's something that I had asked Jim Harbaugh about, actually, Mike, and I'm forgetting who else. I talked to a lot of people sometimes, post a video. Some of the players had availability. I think it was Mason Cole. I was asking him about the offense's ability. Maybe not, you know, it has the red zone struggles. Maybe not, you know, as flashy on offense or productive, but at the same time, they can chew up some clock, and that's been proven already, so. Taylor Bush says, what's your nervousness meter at for MSU? I mean, if you're a Michigan fan, you have to be nervous all the time, right? I mean, it is a rivalry game. Michigan State's won 7 of the past 10. In 2015, that one was pretty much a done deal, except for the final play, the punt. I mean, last year, game was should have been probably a blowout. I know Michigan was favored by like 22 or 23. The score didn't indicate a blowout, but I think Michigan had control for most of that game. I think if you're a Michigan fan, don't expect that this is going to be a win. I mean, I believe that Michigan's going to win this game, but don't go into this game thinking that Michigan is just far and above a better team than Michigan State just because of the 3-9 season last year and the blowout loss at home to Notre Dame. This is a rivalry. Anything can happen, and we've seen the past 2 years that, I mean, at least score-wise, the games have been close, so last year, 9-point win for Michigan, 32-23, and then what was the final? 24-20 or something like that in 2015. I'd have to look. I believe it was 24-20. Carlos Gilliam's okay. Let's go with your guys' predictions, guys. And again, tweet these at me at AdamBiggers81 so that way I have them on record. The closest prediction or dead on first one is going to get a free half chicken or half steak sandwich from Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street, MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. So basically, I mean, this game's not going to be over until late. They'll be closed. So you could go in, you know, the following, you know, during that week or whatever and claim your sandwich. Just show them the tweet or, you know, whatever, and I'll send them a... It's not rocket science here. I'll let them know and you'll be fine. So don't worry about it. All right, predictions. Actually, a couple more comments before I read these predictions, guys. Hold on. For Masterful says, I think we will get at least 2 turnovers this game. D'Antonio sticks with LJ a lot, who is fumble prone. LJ didn't get a ton of carries against Iowa, actually. And I'm wondering if that was a precaution, if they're just kind of easing them back into it. Because LJ, I mean, I don't see either team running the ball particularly well on Saturday. But I mean, if Michigan State's going to run the ball, it's going to go through LJ, certainly. Andrew Pearson Thompson says, as the week goes on, I have this feeling that there's going to be more separation than most people are thinking. Gut feeling. I don't know, Andrew. I think this is going to be a pretty close game. Like I said, 17-14, 17-13. Basically, whoever scores two touchdowns and gets a field goal first, I think, is going to be the winner. Marcel Wood says, I believe the Michigan players like Hill, Cole, McCray, etc. are itching to play MSU after losing in 2015. Well, you know they are. All right, here's on the predictions. Mike Sabrowski says, lock me in at 27-17, Michigan. Tweet these at me, guys, because I don't think I can go back in the live chat after this and check. Carlos Gilliam says, 27-10, Michigan. Sean Patterson says 21-17 Michigan. Damian Kuhn says 17-10 Michigan. Another comment, Taylor Bush, I'm not sold on the blowout with Notre Dame. Had a few stupid mistakes by MSU, blew that game open for Notre Dame. And Michigan State essentially gave that game to Notre Dame too, so I'm not sure exactly what angle you're saying, if Notre Dame wasn't as good, or if, I don't know. What do you mean by that, Taylor? Because I think that Michigan State did give that game to Notre Dame, give Notre Dame every opportunity to win that. And if you look at the stats, other than the final score, Michigan State won in just about every statistical category. Time of possession, first downs, total yards. I mean, if you look at those numbers, you team A, team B, and you see team B with the better stats and time of possession, more first downs. I mean, it would be easy to assume that team B won that game, but it wasn't. It was team A, Notre Dame. Any more predictions, guys? Jeremy Turner says 31-17, Michigan on top. Andrew Pearson Thompson, I think Ty will have a good game if wide receivers aren't holding. Ty Isaac. Matt the Destroyer says, John O'Korn had 28 touchdowns in one season for Houston, which is more than any Michigan QB has ever gotten in one season. But that was at Houston, different type of offense, and in the American. It's not the big time. I mean, I know you can look at what John has done and get an idea. Yeah, he's talented, but I mean, it's not always a direct head-to-head comparison. And again, John did that on 14, 15, 16, 17. He did that in 13. I mean, 5 years ago, I don't know if that's a really good comparison. Never mind. John still in his prime. Damian Kuhn, which team will have more turnovers? That's a good guess. I mean, Michigan State's had trouble with turnovers. I mean, Michigan's had some trouble as well. I mean, thinking of the botched exchange between Wilton and Kakoa. Trying to think who else. I mean, there's been some drops. Turnovers haven't really been the issue. I would just say miscues for Michigan. Turnovers have been an issue for Michigan State. I mean, and then those two pick sixes, obviously, against Florida, that I think that was kind of a one-time deal. Mr. Johnson says 31-13. Who are you going with, Mr. Johnson? I'm guessing Michigan. Mr. Johnson says, everyone revert back to Michigan versus Northwestern 15 when thinking about this game. Yeah, I don't think, yeah, guys, I would not expect a blowout in this game at all. Matt the Destroyer says, I'm not saying he has the best QB ever, just that he has a talent. Well, yeah, John certainly has a talent. He's competed for a starting job in Michigan for 2 years. John O'Korn is a talented quarterback. I don't think anyone who says otherwise is just not informed. Marcel Woods, 42-7, Michigan. Dr. Blitz is going to bring the pain, which will cause two turnovers that amounts to points. MIC Book, will Michigan rush for 100 yards on MSU? I don't think so, MIC Brook. I don't think either team's going to have success running the ball. I would be very surprised. I'll say this, and this was brought up during last night. I did kind of an impromptu late night episode. I would venture to guess if a team does run for 100 yards, and that team will win. Taylor Bush on the Notre Dame thing. MSU gave it to them, fumbled by LJ in the end zone. I don't think Notre Dame was head and shoulders a better team. MSU could have won that game. I agree, Taylor. I completely agree. And that's why I'm saying, you know, don't be, On the scoreboard, it was a blowout, but don't be so quick to judge Michigan State on that Notre Dame game. Look at how Michigan State played against Iowa. Michigan State looked pretty decent against Iowa. Still didn't have the shutdown tendencies, but I mean, we haven't really seen the shutdown tendencies from Michigan yet either. I do think the Michigan's offense showed that it can create a little bit of separation during that second half against Purdue. I'll give them that. Matt the Destroyer 2. Sorry, I keep leaving off the 2. Do you think the Purdue game was a real low corn or just a fluke, or do you think he has more potential? I do think that. I mean, you have to consider the circumstances that John O'Korn came in that game. Wilton Spate just got injured. John hasn't started. He played against Florida a little bit until Wilton Spate could get his head right. I mean, it's on the road. It was really hot. It was like 101 degrees on the field. I remember hearing on the radio. I was actually on my way driving to East Lansing, Notre Dame, while Michigan was playing Purdue. So I think that was more a glimpse at the potential rather than a one-time thing with John. Because I think that John, being a fifth-year senior, I don't think we're going to just see these one-time flashes. I think we're going to see what he's capable of. I don't think that, you know, anything that John O'Korn does, I don't think will be that much of a surprise. And again, you know, basing it on what he did at Houston, he was a freshman of the year in the American Athletic and passed for more than 3,000 yards. And yeah, you can't just compare that, but the potential is certainly there. And then we see what I really liked about John was his ability to make plays on the run, and that's important. And I don't think you just all of a sudden get that. I think that's something that John's had, and that's an important instinct for a quarterback. I don't think that was something that just appeared against Purdue and he's like, oh wow, I can run and make things happen. I think we saw a lot of guys out, and I remember asking people this. Everybody was saying Brandon Peters, we've already seen John O'Korn. You saw the Indiana game, you didn't see all of John O'Korn. Purdue game, you saw John O'Korn. Oldis Ellis says he agrees with Marcel, 42-7. I don't know, guys. That's a huge stretch. Andrew Pearson Thompson says Michigan is undefeated at night at home. Damian Coon, John O'Korn, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's very exact. Not 235, not 240, 237. Chris Carter, this game will be decided between O'Korn and the Werke. I agree, Chris. Shawn Michael says, sup, MSU fans. Good seeing you. Happy about your team for 2 more days. Oh, Sean, thank you for joining. The show is not the same without Shawn Michael. MSU beating Iowa barely at home. Suddenly they can beat anyone. I don't know if that's... I don't think anybody's saying that, but I think that playing Iowa, that was a good measure of how good Michigan State could be. I don't think the Notre Dame game was accurate. So I think they're going to compete against Michigan. I do. I need to see more out of Michigan State before I'm saying, okay, well, Michigan State can hang with everybody in the Big Ten. We'll find out against, you know, the way they play against Michigan, win or lose. Hollis Ellis says, I don't put the run game on them. That's lack of creativity, deceptiveness, and teams that just load up on blitzes. Shawn Michael says, MSU's filled with freshmen. Suddenly in the Big House, they're going to perform against an elite D, doubtful. That is true. Michigan State's played 13 true freshmen. I mean, Michigan's young in some areas as well. I mean, this is a first-time experience for a lot of guys. I don't think it matters if you're a Michigan State freshman or a Michigan freshman. It's a new experience. You're a freshman or, you know, a first-year starter, what have you. So I think it's going to be kind of an energetic environment for guys on both sides. So I don't subscribe to that, Sean. Talk about the night game element. Sean Patterson wasn't right there. I mean, night game. You're going to have a stadium full of 115,000 people, many of whom started tailgating at noon. It's going to be a rowdy environment. It's going to be loud. And it's going to be everything that we want college football to be. I'm excited for this game just because of the rivalry. And as I mentioned earlier this week, it's the rivalry games like Michigan State and Michigan, Michigan-Ohio State, Michigan versus Notre Dame, Michigan State versus Notre Dame. Those are the games that hooked me in when I was a kid. So, I mean, being able to, you know, being an adult now, or at least of adult age, I don't know if I'm quite an adult yet, but being able to cover it is just fun. I mean, it's an experience, and, you know, night game at the big house. Nice fall night. I don't think you can ask for much more, except for I think it might rain, so take a poncho if you guys have one. Chris Carter says, I keep telling everyone this is state national championship game. They will put out every and everything. I mean, only they know for sure, but this is a huge game for Michigan State. Believe that. Especially after last year. I mean, nothing would make Michigan State's season more than beating Michigan. Holis Ellis says, Sean Patterson says, what section do they have for the media, or is it a free-for-all? It's the press boxes up above. Those big glass, that big row of glass up there, that's where we're all at. On the west side of the stadium, where Levine Tower is. On the east side of it, those are like suites, but it's still, you know, basically the same setup. We're above all the seats in the stadium. Mike Zabrowski wants to know, Swinovich, your favorite player to interview, or Rashawn Gary or someone else? Chase is definitely up there, guys. If you get a chance, look on my channel. Chase Winovich was very animated with us last night. I had a great time with him. I like interviewing Chase. As far as players go, who else is pretty good? Brian Monet, if you get Brian going, he can be pretty good. Who else? Karan Higdon's good. I like, as far as coaches are concerned, Zordich. Greg Madison's my favorite. So, I mean, I could look go on and on. I mean, I really like interviewing John Beilein. I love John Beilein. I think he treats everybody with respect. He's a, you know, just a stand-up guy. And real quick, guys, Michigan basketball. I wasn't able to get down there today because I was waiting on a call to finish this feature. But I did read an article from Zach Shaw on 24/7 Sports. And John Beilein addressed, you know, the NCAA scandal, the FBI getting involved, shoe companies, representatives and coaches being arrested and, you know, felony talk and everything like that. And basically, the message from John Beilein is that Michigan is a clean program. I think we all know that. He was voted one of the cleanest coaches in college basketball over the summer. And basically, he's not worried. He doesn't anticipate any connection or investigation, because when you do things the right way, you don't have to look over your shoulder and worry about things. So if you're a Michigan basketball fan, and same with, you know, Michigan State's Tom Izzo, two of the cleanest coaches, I don't think you have to worry about this stuff being connected. So anyway, back to football. I'm going to pick a couple more comments, guys. Mike Zabrowski says he's got to go. Keep up the great work, Adam. I love your shows. Thanks for watching, Mike. Yeah, I'm going to get going too, guys. It's going on 28 minutes. I'm going to try to answer. These comments are going by fast. Shawn Michaels says, if Michigan thumps MSU, the program plummets into obscurity. Andrew Pearson Thompson, I think John Runyon Jr. should start at right tackle. I mean, John's made a case to start, certainly. Marcel Wood says, it's a huge game for both. A lot of recruiting roads in this game. That is true. Chris Carter wants to know, will Michigan open up the offense, more spread? I don't know. That's a question for Pep Hamilton. I mean, I don't think we haven't really seen a ton. And I got this question a lot in the beginning of the year. You know, will it be spreadier with Pep? And I thought that maybe we'd see a little more flair and maybe not so much spread. But, I mean, if we're going to base off what we saw with John O'Korn and Purdue, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, spread per se. But with John's mobility, you know, maybe put him in the gun a little bit, and maybe there are some design runs. I'm not sure. I'm not the coach. These are all great questions that I'm sure someone will ask after the game, or observations we'll make during the game. Shawn Michaels says, people say MSU can win. How? Running, Lewerke running around against Michigan speed. That worked last year when they broke his leg. Well, Shawn, Michigan State wasn't supposed to beat Michigan in 2015 either, but, I mean, how'd it happen? It happened. Can't be too confident or cocky when it comes to this. If you're expecting Michigan and just roll Michigan State, I think you're sadly mistaken. Where is Filiaga on the depth chart? Is he a left tackle or right tackle? He's a right tackle. Four Masterfuls, is Peter the next man up if John O'Korn is nicked up? Yes, he is. All right, guys, we're gonna call it a night. I want to thank everybody for watching the live stream here on my YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share. We're actually up to 800 subscribers now, so I'd like to see it eclipse 1,000 eventually. But like I said, appreciate all your guys' input. You guys make the show. Like, share, tell all your friends. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can follow me on FanRag Sports at Fanrag_U. Follow FanRag Sports at FanRag Sports as well. FanRagSports.com. I want to thank Tim and Keith down there at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. And again, guys, tweet your score predictions at me, at AdamBiggers81. The closest or the first dead on, the first closest, first dead on prediction will get a free half steak sandwich or half chicken sandwich at Mr. Spots. So thanks for watching. A lot more stuff coming this week. It's Wednesday. We're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll probably do a live stream after the game on Saturday, so stay tuned for that. And again, tomorrow, guys, the feature on Chris Evans. I'm really excited for that one to post. I enjoy writing. You know, I love my job, but when getting the opportunity to write features is really kind of like what I like to do. So I was able to dig in, have a couple great conversations with Chris and Coach Mike Kirshner from Ben Davis down there in Indianapolis. So hopefully you read that. That should post sometime tomorrow. So thanks again, everybody. I appreciate it. I'll catch you next time.